Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, presented by McFarlane Energy. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Minute 55 left, third down and 13. Made deep downfield, nobody's looking for it. Cam Kitchens was ready for it, and that's your ball game right there. He'll seal the deal on his third pick of the season.
Blurg, son of a! What did you do? Could you see? It was a...
Aw, man. The Patriots attempt a last-minute comeback, though a curious series of decisions on the final drive, not making the Rams re-punt the ball, running for it on first down right into the two-minute warning for 4 yards, then a coverage sack for Drake May, followed by Pop Douglas not turning his head on a 3rd and 13 air mailer. And your New England Patriots are not able to complete the comeback. They fall to the Los Angeles Rams. Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford, and Sean McVay today at the Razor on what was a beautiful autumn afternoon, 28-22, your final score. In many ways, the New England Patriots probably didn't have much business getting back into that game or even having a chance to make a valiant effort of a last-minute drive. But somehow they did, and yet, once again, they were not able to complete the drive. These are the growing pains that you are going to have to go through with a first-year coach, with brand-new coordinators, with new talent, or at least new players all over the team, and, of course, a rookie quarterback who's got all sorts of gifts and definitely is the future under center in Foxborough. But today, just couldn't do it all by himself. And in the end, the sack and the turnover, the pick to Kitchens gets it done for the Rams. Hello, everybody. Your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens, fresh from Gillette here in our studios at WEEI in beautiful, safe Brighton, Massachusetts, joined alongside by the one and only Andy Jumbo Hart from his South Coast studio here on the Six Rings Postgame Show on WEEI. You can jump in and join the party at any time. Give us a shout, won't you? 617-779-7937. The text line is open for business at 37937. Already, let's see, 860. I'm done with this team. Cool. Well, we only have 3 hours to go on the postgame show, so it should be a fun one for you, sir. And, of course, the socials at WEEI is where we're broadcasting from. Maybe you're on one of our fabulous affiliates, or you're listening through the Odyssey app. Oh, there we go. 603 texter, can't hear you on the Odyssey app. Everything's going great. He's at Jumbo Hart, and I'm at Fitzy GFY. Andy, I feel like this game could have been told a million different ways. I was prepared at first to say, wow, I can't believe the Patriots kept up with the Rams. What a signature win for Drake May and Gerard Mayo against the talented fantasy football team from the West Coast. And then I was prepared to crap all over the team because they were embarrassing themselves, like with that terrible idea to blitz in the start of the third quarter that gave up the 69-yard touchdown to Cooper Kupp, and then they came back again. It was a mixed bag of emotions, dare I say, at Gillette Stadium today. What is the, aside from the fact that the defense really is not nearly as good as we thought it may have been coming off of the Bears game, what is the big takeaway from where you sat and watched today's game?
Well, I think the big takeaway is, the simple takeaway is, Drake May is him. Drake May is awesome. Drake May The accuracy, it was funny to listen. I'm going to add Mark Sanchez to the group. That includes Chase Daniel. That includes Dan Orlovsky. That includes John Gruden and many other so-called QB experts who believe that Drake May is an absolute stud. Because if you watched the first half of that game, certainly, he was borderline perfect. Kayshon Booty, drop aside. Kayshon Booty, failure to fight for the football down the field. Tell me if you've heard that one before.
You don't say.
But other than that, he was borderline perfect. You know, even beyond that, you had Sanchez just in awe of some of the what he termed more technical or veteran aspects of numbers in the run game and moving blockers around and making sure all those things work. Drake May's a stud, and that is why that final throw was so painful, because don't go out like that. I'm fine if you get sacked. I'm fine if you get hit. I'm fine if you try to squeeze one in, but just... I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say it.
Go ahead.
That's how games ended with Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi.
Ugly throws like that. No.
But it's true, and you know it's true. It's no you true.
Don't say it.
And it's also weird, too, that DeMario Douglas was not expecting the ball, didn't even look for the ball. I don't think it would have mattered necessarily, but it might have. That was very strange for an offense that has, fought off sort of this idea that there's some ineptitude to it. Maybe it's poorly coached, poorly schemed. Not a great look there for the receiver in a gotta-have-it situation, game on the line, deep ball to not turn
How do you
head.
Not turn your head around until the pick is made?
Well, I'll tell
you. What are you doing running a seam cross like that 30 yards down the field and you don't turn your head?
Felt like what they call a for-the-love-of-the-game route, which is that he just thought he was clearing out for somebody underneath him to make a catch, that somebody was supposed to be the underneath receiver, and for whatever reason, Drake May went for it. So I don't know, but that's my main takeaway. And I will also tell you, as someone who thought Jared Verse and Fitz and those guys were going to, Fisk and those guys were going to dominate this game, and they did at times. There were a couple times, certainly that strip sack was one of them. I thought the offensive line kind of fought. They're not good. That is what it is. They're not good, but they fought a little bit. And I thought overall, the Patriots put up a good fight against a much more talented, cohesive, well-coached football team than they played a week ago. So I know, was it 6:08 you said, I'm done with this team. Why are you done with this team? Because they have a franchise quarterback who's going to be one of the top 5 to 7 passers in the game within the next year? Why would you ever be? This is the dumbest possible. This is like, somebody goes to you 15 years ago and says, hey, I got this stock. It's called Twitter. Do you want to buy in on it at a really low rate? Or crypto, you want to buy in? That's what you're doing right now if you invest emotionally in the Patriots. You're investing in a startup that's about to change the world, and his name is Drake May.
All right, let me give you the perfect dichotomy of where Patriots fans are and listeners to the Six Rings postgame show right now. And I see your calls lining up. We'll get to you guys in just a couple of minutes after some opening thoughts. And of course, we will carry Drake May live at the podium when he steps up for his postgame comments, as well as Coach Gerard Mayo and anything else good from the locker room as well. When Mego checks in with us, we're all around 6:00, and we'll have the Drake May report card from the May Whisperer, the original maniac himself, Chris Scheim from the morning show. Here you go, 617, Fitzy and Hart. May cannot do this on his own. Other players need to step up. This is tough to watch with May needing to do it all himself. I disagree with that first texter. May is awesome to watch. He just needs help.
Yep.
781 texter immediately after that. I guess I'm missing something with May. He's a turnover machine.
Okay. So you would have gotten rid of Peyton Manning when he set the NFL record for interceptions as a rookie?
33 interceptions his rookie year. You had got to get rid of him. What a piece of garbage, right?
I thought it was 28, but the
rest of the sentence... Oh, he threw 33 touchdowns his second year, 28 picks. Yeah. Okay, well, stats are for losers.
Rookies give up... And first of all, the fumble today was not on him.
No, it's because the tackle got beat.
I swear the offensive line has never blocked a game, a twist, a stunt. It's like they lose their minds. I don't know if that's coaching or skill or a combination of the two. But if you watch today's game and said, I don't get it, I don't see what the fascination is, I don't see what the... then you probably, this is not the sport for you. I would say find a different sport. It's fine. Not every sport is for everyone. I watch soccer and I don't get it. And you know what I do? I no longer watch soccer because it makes no sense to me. I don't enjoy it. It's not my game. That person, that texter, should not be watching football because you have no idea what you're watching. It's not for you.
Hart's coming in hot today.
Well, that was a stupid text. That was a really stupid text. And yes, I'm emotional. It's my guy just made a not great throw to end the game with a receiver who decided, hey, what's that in the crowd down there? Is that John Candy? I'm going to run towards him and never put my head back towards the goddamn football. What are we doing here?
I don't think John Candy was there. I don't think he'll be joining us on the postgame
show. It's a reference to Joe Montana.
I know. Hey, is that John Candy? I remember he said that before the 2-minute drive against the Bengals where he threw the game winning touchdown to John Taylor.
Well, thank you.
I'm saying that for people that wouldn't understand the reference. Sometimes
you're right. There's probably a lot of people listening that were like, who's John Candy talking about? What is hot?
I had no clue what you guys were saying.
I know. All right, relax.
Open up
everybody.
A book or watch a video for once in your life, Braverman.
Oh my, how could you come after? You know what? That's it. Joe's in control of your volume levels at any point today. If things get wonky on the South Coast,
well, I'm going to make a threat here.
Wait, what's that, Andy? I can't hear you. Your volume's too loud. What?
Shut my volume off and I leave. I'll just go downstairs and drink.
Okay. Well, you know what? Then so will I. And it'll be Zach and Braverman on the postgame show. I'm all set, man. Let's see. 2-4. That's a unique little area code right there. 240. Mayo is a terrible coach. The defense got schooled today. Another one. 508. I'm done with these coaches. It really seems rough down there. And yes, 857. I agree with you. Even if Pop Douglas had turned around, he probably wouldn't catch it. That was way more on Drake May than it was on Pop Douglas. Should Pop have turned around? Probably. Or at least kind of given the illusion that maybe he was looking for the ball. But Drake May airmailed that one. Make no mistake on that one. But you cannot put the loss at the feet of or by the hands of Drake May. The kid was out there doing everything he possibly could. The line was collapsing a lot. Yeah, the line was fisked, to say the least, today. That kid, Braden Fisk, is awesome. The defensive lineman from Florida State that we all had a draft crush on. Now I can see exactly why. Obviously, Jarrett Verse. He's a stud of a first-round pick.
Wait, where did Fisk go?
Florida State.
No. What was his draft pick? Do you know?
34? He was in the 30s. But we got Jalen Polk. Hey, by the way, Jalen Polk.
His mistake per play ratio is through the roof. Holy Moses.
He is something else. To be able to, on third down, not get called into, not see that your quarterback's calling you into motion to see where the safety is going to be. So he misses that call from his quarterback. And then on fourth down, he moves, blowing up the freaking fourth and one call in the formation where it's going to be a direct snap to either Ramondre or Hasty. Like, what is, let me just ask, what is it you say you do here, Polk?
This guy screw things up.
The curse, everyone that asked after Tyquan Thornton was cut over the week on Friday, everyone that asked, oh no, is the second round receiver curse coming for Jalen Polk? It's not coming for Jalen Polk. It has arrived. He stinks.
I got to give you a quick story in that light. So I was reading a national mock draft that had the Patriots taking the kid from Arizona, the receiver.
Oh, McMillan.
McMillan. Mm-hmm. And in the little write-up, it said, with McMillan and rising star Jalen Polk or something, Patriots should be set at wide receiver for years to come. I was like, I literally closed the document immediately and said, this is trash. You don't know what you're talking about if you would write that sentence.
Yeah,
I mean, the guy... He may not be here next year. He's going down Bustville Road. Now, he probably will be because it's hard to cut ties with a second-round pick that quickly. But he's a mess. And I would – Gerard Mayo was dead right when he said he has mental hurdles or he's got to get over mental hurdles. Gerard Mayo nailed that. He is clueless every time he steps on the field. He is an absolute head case on the field, and that's a problem for them.
Yeah, he needs to be sat down once again, or maybe just DNP'd the rest of the season. Obviously, they were going to do the same for Tyquan Thornton, and they gave him what he could never usually get against many cornerbacks in the NFL, and that was a free release. Jalen Polk is a cheap shot.
No, you know what?
It's okay. It's fine. He earned it. He deserved it. He got paid millions of dollars to stink. It's fine. By the way, just want to let everybody know, thank you guys for tuning in to YouTube Live, as well as Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. I know we were having some technical difficulties, Andrew, but don't worry, we have them fixed. So everyone should be able to jump back on to their favorite way or method to consume the Six Rings postgame show. Yeah, Polk is a problem. Like, it's not just now that the kid is having issues. He is legitimately now a problem. It's coming to a point, Andy, where they're going to have to make decisions like, I know you want to go with the young guys. I know you need to get these kids some reps. I know you need to see who has chemistry with Drake May, and you have to develop the guys that you just spent valuable picks on. Oh, why did you take McConkey? But.
Stop it.
No, I can't. I'll never get over it. I will never get over Macho Grande.
That was
Grande,
not the white
and
answer.
I'll never get over Andy, now see, you've made me a sad McConkie. Please don't do that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Stop it.
And by the way, Fisk was picked 39th.
Okay. So he went after Jalen Polk. Here's Mayo.
We'll always be disappointed, you know, walking out of here with a loss. But before I get into the football stuff, hopefully you guys have seen these pins that all the guys are wearing. And we all are out there representing a fallen hero, a fallen soldier, which I think is important. I think the TAPS program, they do a great job. We'll support these guys. As long as I'm here, we'll continue to support them. And today I was representing Army Sergeant First Class Daniel Ferguson, known as Danny to his friends and his family, and really gave the ultimate sacrifice for our safety. So today would have been his birthday. Pretty tough situation, you know, especially coming from a military family. I can't imagine, you know, suffering a loss like that, but I think the TAPS program is a great program. Kind of what I told the guys in the locker room, felt like I never really felt like they had control of the game. I felt like we had control of the game. You look at the first half, I think we only had 1-3 and out. Offensively, I thought they did a great job on first and second down, which was one of the targets that we talked about. Defensively, not so much. Defensively, they only had, 8 third downs in the game. And you just can't win that way. When you look at the time of possession, you look at the movement we were able to get offensively in the run game and in the pass game, you look at the time of possession, I mean, that's part of the formula. We just got to continue to build on it. We'll say the guys, you know, came out with energy, and even when our backs were against the wall, they still continued to play hard, which I definitely appreciate. I know the rest of the coaches and hopefully the fans appreciate it as well, are playing hard. Now, do we need to get better? Absolutely. And that's my job as the head coach of this football team. It starts with me. I have to do better. I'm going to demand more from our assistant coaches. I'm going to demand more from our players. We have enough talent. We have enough talent in our locker room to be a very good football team. We just got to be able to put it together. A couple situations that came up, I'm sure that's going to be part of the discussion. You know, the 4th and 2, you know, elected to kick a field goal. If it was 4th and 1, probably would have went for it. But it made it a one-score game. And then the Seattle situation showed up again. And I would say this, every game is unique. It's one of one. And I just felt like when I made those choices, it was the best thing to do for our football team today. Like I said, proud of the way those guys competed. Just got to clean up a few things.
Questions with Dan Roach in
the back? Terrell, with what you just said and with how hard they played, how much do you maybe kind of look at this one as a team you are facing had key veterans at the positions, Stafford and Nacua and Kupp, and knew how to make plays when they needed to make plays compared to you guys just battling and trying to learn?
Yeah, you know, it's part of it. And look, you win or you learn. That has to be our mindset. Like, it would be a huge disservice if we don't learn anything from this game. But that's a good football team that we played today. But at the same time, I feel like we had our opportunities.
Sophie Roller, your far right.
Gerard, I'm just curious what you saw on that final play where Drake was intercepted. Just kind of what went wrong there?
Just miscommunication. Which, going back to the question earlier, you know, you go back and look at the Rams versus the Seahawks and those guys making those plays down the stretch. You know, it's very impressive. And look, we'll grow into being able to finish out and finish and close out these games. Just got to go back to work, get on the practice field. Tomorrow, we'll clean up a lot of this stuff. And then Wednesday, it's change the page onto the next game.
Got Kite on your right.
Gerard, Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp both went for over 100 yards. Christian was just talking about how the game plan was for him to play on the boundary. Looked like the Rams were able to stay away from him. Do you regret the decision to not have him shadow one of those guys or to adjust quicker?
I mean, look, you know, Kupp had the one reception, which was a huge chunk of those yards. Look, going into the game, we have a plan, and we're always willing to change that plan. Like I said earlier, I felt like, you know, we're going to be okay. Thought we could outlast them.
Mike Reese in the front row.
Gerard, you were talking about some of the game decisions. When you guys went up 7-0 second quarter early, I think it was like a 54-yard field goal for Joey, but ended up punting on that one. Is that the one that were you talking about, or is that a different one?
No, that's a different one. I was talking about the fourth and goal on the two.
Got it.
Making that a one score game. So then really, you know, the extra point versus the 2-point conversion is always a conversation. Gotcha. I will say, look, anytime you get a kick block too, it's not a very good day.
On that 54-yarder, what was it about that decision that you didn't want to go 54-yard and ended up punting?
Yeah, there are a lot of different factors that we take into account. You know, we talk about when we talk about, you know, the pregame warm-up. You can kind of see how the kicks are going on both sides during the pregame warm-ups, and I just felt like that was the right decision to make.
Gerard, with that punt, with the fourth and two, which the fans clearly were not happy with, do you think you're coaching to win, or do you think you're coaching to win?
I'm always coaching to win. And look, every decision that I make won't always be the popular one, and that's part of this job.
Gerard, what do you think is preventing Jalen Polk and Javon Baker from having larger roles within the offense?
Yeah, look, I think it's important to remember, like, those guys are rookies. And, you know, sometimes the expectation is that they're just going to come in here and be all pros. That's not it. Those guys, they work every day, and at some point they'll hit an inflection point where they can help our team win.
Gerard, tackle eligible play to Vedarian in the end zone. What ended up giving you confidence that Vedarian is going to be able to make that play? Do you put him on the jugs machine in practice? Or
No jugs machines for him. Look, it was just something that we worked on in practice. And anytime you see special plays like that, look, we got to see it multiple times. It's not like you run it one time in practice and you feel good about it. So he caught three balls in practice, so I felt pretty good about it.
Hey, Coach, you have a pre-snap falls offensively, which costs you points. I just wonder your thought about that, if there's any message to the team.
Yeah, the message is, look, we can't go backwards. I don't care how good the team is. You never want to go backwards, and that definitely hurts us.
Gerard, from your perspective, obviously the team is competitive right now, but what are maybe one or two things that you feel are keeping you from winning these types of games, whether it's from a decision-making standpoint as a coach or overall as a group, and how do you get to a place where it's better?
Overall, as a group, it's just consistency. That's what it is, on a down-after-down basis.
Couple final questions.
Bring it down. Drew, I just wanted to ask about Christian's Day. What did you think of it overall, Barmore?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure what the final snap count was, but it was good just to see him back out there. You know, obviously, he's a disruptive presence, but today, with anyone, linebackers, defensive front, like I don't think we had any negative, you know, tackle for a loss or anything like that. But it was good to have him out there. And, you know, first and foremost, player safety is important, and I know he's excited about it.
Last question.
Trad, just going back to the decision to keep Christian in the boundary, I know he had a lot of success in Chicago. You guys basically running the same idea. As the game progresses here and they're scoring with Kupp and Nacua, what was the logic behind keeping him in the boundary versus mixing that up a little bit more?
Yeah, we just thought that was the best thing to do. And it's a mix of man and zone, so we thought that was the best thing to do. Thanks.
All right, there's Coach Gerard Mayo coming to you live from Gillette Stadium with his post-game commentary following the Patriots' 28-22 defeat to the Rams. A couple good questions in there as well, Andy. Some curious answers, as usual. I, too, wondered what exactly they were doing with Christian Gonzalez today, because he seemed to be a non-factor in the secondary, and I think the Rams did a good job of avoiding him all day, but do you think it would have been to their benefit to have him try to erase one of those receivers as opposed to more of the zone concept they were playing? Because it seems like the Rams were able to solve it pretty quick. And, you know, Puka Nacua, I think Marcus, John Jones, obviously a good player, big play at the end to give the Patriots a chance to get the ball in their hands for the final drive that didn't work out. But, you know, Marcus Jones on Puka Nacua, give me a break. That's going to go the big guy's way 9 out of 10 times, bare min.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the result tells you it didn't work because you had 200-yard receivers. They're a team that basically utilizes two receivers, and both those guys found the end zone and had 100 yards. So your plan didn't work. The effectiveness was not there. And, you know, one of the strengths of having a Christian Gonzalez who you feel like can take away another team's receiver is, he can take away another team's receiver. And at least then maybe you can do things creatively with the other receiver in terms of doubling, bracketing, safety help, however you want to handle it. They never really slowed those two down. Nope. And I know he can dismiss it like, oh, 69 yards came on one play. Yeah, the game-winning play, basically. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm not dismissing that by any it's an issue. You know, the depth at the in the coverage position is an issue. They're top-heavy, and today it felt like they allowed the Rams to kind of dictate the way it went by not moving him around and following anybody. I mean, if you want to tell me Nacua is more dangerous and put him on that, okay, do that, whatever. But just to allow them to kind of figure out where he is and pick and choose from there. Although I will say, there were times he was involved in coverage where he was beaten. I thought Stafford actually missed some throws that Stafford threw the ball very weirdly to me today. The guy's got one of the strongest arms in the history of the game.
A lot of sidearm action today from him.
Sidearm and, like, lobs to spots. Like, even the Nacua touchdown that he landed on the ball, he was wide open. And I think lobbing it and making him dive, A, got him banged up, and B, almost creates a situation where who knows if he survives the ground, catches the ball. Like, I didn't think Stafford actually had his best game. You know, I thought Gonzalez got away with a couple times he was beat, but yeah, I would have moved Gonzalez on to one of the receivers and tried to take him away instead of leaving him on the boundary. But whatever. The bigger question for me was the one about, I thought it was a great question from Ben Volen.
Yep.
Are you playing to win the games?
First of all, we know that for what people think of the legend of Troll and Volen, if you will, I always appreciate the fact that the first person to ask a question that gets under the skin of Commissioner Goodell at every Super Bowl week presser is Ben Volen. Never afraid to ask the tough questions.
Nope.
Which I appreciate, number one. And number two, that's a ballsy question.
But I agree.
Because there were so many curious decisions in the second half, it would lead one to wonder, like, hey, I'm really not trying to troll you here, coach, but are you really, like, you really playing to win? Because sometimes it made me wonder.
Right. Feels like you're playing not to lose more than you are to win.
And that's the freaking secret to losing.
Correct. 100%. I actually thought the Rams tried to do that. I thought the second to last drive, they were playing super soft defense. I was like, what are you guys doing here?
Because you play to win the game.
But also, Andy, at that point, like, try to walk me through this. Because, you know... The proper, or at least the outcome we all thought was inevitable, is the one that we achieved, or the one that they achieved on the field today. However, the Patriots did have several chances to win this game. And walk me through. So if Volen's going to ask this question, you know, are you really playing to win? Let's walk through the final drive, because the Rams decide not to go for the backbreaker 52-yard field goal, which if they nail it, then they're up by 9, game over. Doesn't matter if you give the Patriots a touchdown drive and they get a 2-point conversion, because you're still up by 1. So then there's a penalty, and the Pats have the ball at like the 9. So Mayo decides not to allow the Rams to re-kick the ball. So first, is that because maybe if he puts the decision back in Sean McVay's hands, maybe McVay then says, you know what, F it, let's go for the field goal? Or did he think that it may pin them 2 or 3 yards further back with the punt? That was a strange choice.
Yeah.
Kick it again. Maybe you block it. Maybe something else happens.
Yeah, I'm not real sure there. There were a lot of those, I felt like, in this game. And I will also say, that's the world that Jerod Mayo lives right now, is when you lose, more questions are asked. When you don't have a resume, more questions are asked. And he's not Bill Belichick. He doesn't get the benefit of the doubt on a single decision that's questionable, and I think every one of these is going to be nitpicked, and that's one that certainly could be picked apart there.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Coach Mayo, what were you thinking not having the Rams punt that again?
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
Well, when are you going to get into it, guy? Come on.
Greg Hill show tomorrow morning, 9 a.m.
Coach Mayo, honestly, are you playing to win?
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
Jeez, what's the point then, guy?
This guy. This effing guy.
This freaking guy. TFG, this freaking guy. Okay, so then on that drive, first pass that May throws, doesn't put enough mustard on it. The cornerback, number 3, makes a nice play on Hunter Henry, knocks it away.
Got both hands on it. It was very close to a pick.
It kind of was. Well, May was sort of like, I'm not sure if he was evading pressure or if he just like kind of back-footed it. He kind of candied it, you know. It was a soft toss.
He had a couple of those today. He had one on the goal line where he kind of pumped it and then threw it to the right pylon. And again, it hit the cornerback in both hands. It's like, late. I wouldn't do that.
That may be a zipper that he may want to put some mustard on. But then you have that nice completion to Kendrick Bourne. Oh, man, I'm so mad that he got pushed out of bounds. But that ended up being a worthwhile defensive pass interference because otherwise Bourne may have gotten significant yardage on that play. And then comes that insane decision. I know. Let's run it on first and 10 and get 3 yards with Ramondre heading into the 2-minute warning. That followed by May holding the ball too long and the pressure getting to him. There was a covered sack, but also they had good pressure on that one. I thought it was just that series of decisions and plays, it was only outdone by, in the third quarter, the first and goal at the 7. That play calling was atrocious.
Yeah, this one.
The pass run.
I put a little bit more on May. I thought May looked like a rookie on that final drive. I thought he looked like a young player. I thought all game he looked like a veteran quarterback, was making all the plays, the throws, the whole thing.
Poised beyond his years, yes.
Yes. And then there, you know, the old Charles Barkley, sphincters get tight at the end of games kind of thing. I thought his sphincter tightened up a little bit in that situation there. And again, I'm okay with that. I'm not one of these like, He's a rookie quarterback. These are valuable experiences. I'm looking at this in the big picture, and I see a lot to like because he can't take the sack there. Throw it away.
Get rid
of the ball. I actually understand the handoff to Stevenson because you have the 2-minute warning coming. You hope they're playing all pass, and maybe you can sneak a 15 or 20-yard run from Stevenson. Now, you didn't. It didn't work.
All right, here comes Drake. Man, let's hear
Drake.
It.
Drake, just 282 yards, a couple touchdowns, but I'm sure for you, the loss and the two turnovers are gonna eat at you a little bit. Just lessons learned in this one when you look back on it.
Just can't hurt our defense, on the fumble, third down, gotta get the ball out. Can't take a sack there. Same thing I talked about in the previous press conference. Punt. End of the drive of the kick. Coach Mayo preaches that. End of every drive of the kick, and then I thought we did some good things, but at the end of the day, it wasn't good enough.
Over here on your far right. Gerard Mayo said that the interception at the end was a miscommunication. Can you take us through what happened on that play?
Yeah, it's a too high look, and pops up the middle, and they're pretty good up front rushing five, so I tried to put it on him and kind of hit him over the linebacker, and Pop was thinking probably deep, but at the end of the day, just got to be on the same page. And I think Pop did the right thing. I guess got to. Just talk through more conversations, and it just goes back to me during the week doing more, talking through different situations. Hey, I may put this one on you versus let it rip. So that's about it.
Chris Ryan on your left.
Drake, it feels like each week you get a little bit better and there's a little more growth. Where do you see the areas of growth being this week? And also speak to the third and short situations and getting into your third and short with gains on first and second down.
Yeah, I think this week just scrambling to be a passer. I think taking off so early and just tucking the football, being a scrambler, to throw the ball downfield, and we got good players downfield. I thought I made good decisions, and just the last reception. But I think week to week, I think we're getting better. Proud of those guys up front for battling, and we were able to run the football pretty good at times today. Just little things that I think down there in the red zone, we got to capitalize on.
Hey, Drake. Fourth and two down near the goal line, obviously fourth and goal at the 2. Did you have any input over whether to go for it on fourth down? And do you wish that you had gone for it?
Yeah, I think it's easy to look back and wish we would have done this or that. But I think that was to make it a one score game. So we're gonna hang our hat on the what the coaches want to do. And I think I wouldn't disagree with it. We got a good defense and we're proud of our defense. We think our defense is a good good unit. So at the end of the day, they just made more plays than we did.
Far right.
Hi, Drake. Kendrick Bourne, no snaps last week, but this week he's got 72 yards and a touchdown. What did you see from him? What was different about his attitude this week?
Yeah, I think his attitude is always the same. KB's got great energy, and that's the one thing about him. He's going to come in day out with a smile on his face, and I think just a testament to him for not getting probably what he wanted last week and coming out here and making some big plays for us.
Drake, obviously you have a ton on your plate for yourself in a game like this, but do you watch Matthew Stafford do his thing? He obviously had a great game today, and did you get a chance to speak with him after the game?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, grew up, you know, big fan, you know, of Matthew Stafford, and still a fan, you know, over there on the sideline. I mean, used to watch him on Thanksgiving. I feel like the Lions always played on Thanksgiving, you know, Thanksgiving coming up. So, probably, you know, threw the football, you know, sadly pretty well today. And it was cool to watch, and just glad to meet him after the game, and, you know, told him I was a big fan.
Throw a lot of passes to guys over 300 pounds in your career in the end zone?
Say that again?
Throw a lot of passes to guys over 300 pounds in your career?
Yeah, it's my first one. You know, I'm proud of V-Lo. I think, you know, some trickery, I think that kind of gets lost in the NFL. You know, some trickery, misdirection, little things like that. I think you fool these guys in the end zone.
Got good hands for a big guy?
Yeah, good hands. Yeah, he caught them all week. So I try to give him a nice pass. I think hopefully my mom probably could have caught it.
Drake, what do you do or what do you say to Jalen Polk as he kind of struggles to find some consistency right now?
Yeah, I think just keep going. I think, you know, he's going to be a great part in this league. He's a rookie like myself, and we're going to have some good games as the Patriots together. So looking forward to keep him going, and I think he's getting, you know, thrown in there at different times and thrown in there to block some. So he's got to, you know, pick up some little things, but, you know, he's a great player and need to, you know, find a way to get in the football.
Drake, on that false start penalty at the end of the game there, I think it was your second to last drive, it looked like you were sort of going down to the line of scrimmage to try to communicate something. How difficult was it to get everything communicated the way you wanted? Was noise a factor down there? What happened on that play?
Yeah, I think the play clock was running down. You know, just trying to, you know, do different things and get guys lined up. Yeah, but it's unfortunate that we had to take a time out there and or really a false start, you know, so kicked us back and kick the field goal. So it is unfortunate.
Two final questions. Bob Sosi in the front row.
Hey, Drake, over the course of your starting experience, do you feel like the playbook has expanded? There's more variety now. Have you gotten the sense that you guys can do more things now? I mean, even like today, the pass distribution seemed like early on a lot of different people were involved throughout the game. Do you feel like it's expanded for you?
I think it's a testament to this offense. You know, I think, you know, in TC in the quarterback room of, you know, teaching us, hey, different looks, different guys. I think, you know, it's a predicate. I think it's one of the strengths of having a lot of different guys that can make plays. They got to guard everybody. And it goes back to me trying to get people involved. You know, I like getting a bunch of different people involved. And I think just, you know, playing football, playing good football, and, you know, making the right read and being on time is a testament to this offense that the AVP runs of, you know, what it can do.
Last question, Alex Park.
Drake, it looked like you made a couple of anticipation throws to Hunter Henry today. How far would you say your chemistry's come with him since training camp?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's a baller. I remember, you know, times in training camp, times I was in there with him. I think I remember I had a rack of 4 and 7 on 7, and I think I threw it to him maybe all 4 times or 3 of the 4 times. You know, I'm trying to find 85. You know, I think he's a, you know, one of the best tight ends in this league, and, you know, I think him and Hoop, you know, those are two great players for us. I think they, you know, week in and week out, you know, block their butts off in the run game and make plays for us. So, you know, proud of, you know, 85 and 81. I think we're going to have some guys up, you know, else in that room that are going to step up. So, thank you.
You just heard from Patriots rookie quarterback Drake May, his post-game comments following the 28-22 defeat at the hands of the Los Angeles Rams. Good, honest, open little sesh there with the rookie QB, Andy. Any immediate takeaways before we go to break?
I liked the support of Polk. We're two rookies, and we're going to have some good games together for these Patriots. You know, it's not a huge thing, but Polk needs any support he can get right now, because I think certainly outside the building, there's a lot of negative energy, and we're part of it, and it's earned. He's a professional. That's the one thing I would say, is Gerard Mayo kind of defended Polk like he's a rookie. Well, guess what? He's a professional. Like, he's halfway through his rookie. I feel like Belichick would at least think, if not say, there's no more rookies, right? We're in the middle of the NFL season. You've had a lot of practices. You've played game reps. There's no more rookies. But good for the quarterback to support his guy there. I also liked the tried to make a nice throw. I think my mom could have caught it. Vidarian Lowe touchdown. So that was a funny little line there. But the one that concerns me the most is that last play and the communication issue. And he said, you know, I'm going to talk more during the week, and he's probably right. To me, the receiver has to see it through the quarterback's eyes. That's my everything. World. Yes. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, the receiver needs to know there might be pressure. The receiver needs to he can't just stand back there and wait for you to get 35 or 40 yards downfield. If if there's a spot, he's going to throw it. And he was open. Like, I don't know how the, you know, connection point would have worked had he seen it and throttled down his route and be ready to catch it.
But had to have jumped about 3 feet up in the air.
At least have an idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a shame that it comes down to something as simple as communication, something that is so key, something that's so fundamental on the football field. And I think you nailed it there. They all need to be, like, they have to be on the same page. The receivers need to be thinking, they need to know where they're supposed to be as opposed to the quarterback having to tell them. And that's case in point right there. You see it play out in the end. Rams 28, Patriots 22. Fitzy and Hart here with you till after 7 o'clock-ish tonight on the Six Rings postgame show. Got a nice little Sunday Night Football affair broadcast here on WEEI with the Bengals against the NFL's number one defense, old Whole Milk Harbaugh, and the Chargers as well. That should be dandy as well. Give us a shout, 617-779-7937. Mego checking in later after the locker room. Drake May report card from Chris Scheim. And you guys when we return here with Six Rings on EEI.
Gerard, with the punt, with that punt, with the fourth and two, which the fans clearly were not happy with, do you think you're coaching to win, or do you think you're coaching to win?
I'm always coaching to win. And look, every decision that I make won't always be the popular one, and that's part of this job.
An on-the-spot question for Coach Mayo in his postgame presser from the Boston Globe's Ben Volen. Are you coaching to win? Curious one indeed. But then again, there were some decisions made today by the coaching staff. I would say by all three coaches, if you will, or the coach and two coordinators, certainly look like at times, or the majority of the game, they were trying to play to win, but there were definitely some curious calls, Andy, that we will have to revisit over the course of the Six Rings postgame show right here live on WEEI. Happy to have you guys at 617-779-7937, whether you're currently at home, you're out and about, if you're stuck in traffic on Route 1 on the way home from the game, perhaps you lit the grill. Carefully, of course, there are red flag warnings. We are in a little bit of a drought right now, so let's be careful out there, everybody. But if you're having a little post-gamer outside the stadium, commiserating with your fellow Foxborough faithful about how that one seemed to just get away from him, like it was almost there for him, but it just didn't happen, well, we're here for you. And we gladly welcome you onto the program, like our friend Dan in Rhode Island, the first caller today on the Six Rings postgame show. What up, Dan?
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Hanging in there, my guy. How about you?
There we go. I'm hanging in there. Look, I've been making this comparison for a couple of weeks, but now I don't know how you can't see, until they can get out of their own way, that Drake May is Matthew Stafford playing for the Detroit Lions right now. That's who he is.
That is a comp and a half, my guy.
Yeah, and you know, just think of how great would Matthew Stafford's career have been if he had gone to maybe a Pittsburgh or something, you know, a winning organization. He already has a Hall of Fame career, but if he had gone to a good organization, he would be probably one of the all-time greats. But here's where I'm going with this. Like, you look at Nacua, you look at Kupp, and then you just look at Polk, and it's sad. It's almost inexplicable, but with the track record of this team, you know, they're going to have a premium pick, obviously, draft day next year. Whatever it is, from 1 to 10, whatever, you trade out whatever, just take a line, the best left tackle available, period. End of story, nothing else involved. And then with your second round pick, which will be a high two, I don't care if you take next year's two, whatever, go get DK Metcalf. I know T. Higgins is a free agent, but you have to. There is no more, like, maybe. So you have to get a premium alpha wide receiver here.
Yes.
For the next 3 years. There's not even a discussion. Even if you got to take a two in next year's number one for somebody that's going to be a stud here for the next 3 years, and even after that, I'd still try to find somebody else who's also a proven number two, because you can see what a quarterback can do when he has two really good receivers like today. They can win the game pretty much the three of them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just this team is not going to be able to get the draft done with the people they have in place right now. It's proven, and it's not going to change. And, you know, I look at a guy, and as far as coaching goes, I will cut Mayo some slack because he's a first-time coach. He has no coaching tree. He had no people to bring in. He was handed, everyone was given. But how much better, and I know he wasn't available, but how much better would this situation be if there was a proven guy like Sean Payton, who's making Bo Nix look pretty damn good right now? actually really good. I was actually watching him in red zone. He looks like a really good quarterback. They just made all the wrong hires everywhere. And until they can get it right, May is going to be stuck. He'll get them to like a respectable level, but they need everybody else in this organization to do it with him. He can't do it by himself.
It's a great call, Dan. Thanks very much for being the first caller here on the Six Rings Post.
And the last, that's going to do it for tonight's show. We're just going to wrap it up.
Yep,
that was
that's
a long
it.
Call.
No, it was just enough. I always like when the call, when he's making enough good points, I'll allow for a borderline microcast.
Not sure how many were good, but.
He's not wrong in that right now it feels like Drake May is on an old, lousy version of the Detroit Lions in a certain capacity. And I will say this.
Total rebuild, and you're less
rebuild.
Than a half a season into it. I don't really get the comparison.
Because they stunk then, and we stink now. So
yeah. So why can't you be?
He's afraid that they're.
Why aren't you the Texans? Why aren't you the Bengals? Why aren't you one of those teams that stunk and then got good all of a sudden?
Because you can be. We'll see. We'll
why
you know
compare
what?
It to a
why
team
don't we check
that
in
just
next
year after
year?
Year
and the year
right.
after
like,
that?
Why are we doing this six games
I
into
think
his
he's,
starting
I
career?
Think he's saying because Stafford was coming to town this week, I think there's an immediacy to the comp right there because of the Matthew Stafford factor. That's my guess.
Don't let the situation get in the way.
All right. I'm just letting you know. I'm speculating here. I don't know what's in the mind of Dan from Cranston or any of the other people calling to talk
and
about
then,
Six Rings.
I also kind of disagree. I'm interested to see where the analysis of the tackles go, but there's a lot of criticisms of the tackles in this draft, that it's a terrible tackle draft.
That it's a terrible draft, period, Andy.
Well,
some of the games I was watching, like Will Campbell was the name they hyped up. He was getting smoked against
Florida
yesterday.
Well, that's the problem. Will Campbell and Kelvin Banks are the two tackles. The starting right tackle for Texas is the third guy, and a lot of people think one is a project and two are guards or centers. So,
oh, great.
I don't just agree you take the highest tackle because you need a tackle. I think that's how you fire yourself, and then you create a bad long. If you waste a top 10 pick this year, waste it, and just say, screw it, I'm going to take this square peg and jam it in this round hole. I'm taking a tackle no matter what. I am that's how you get fired. That's why I think you may be considering, and a lot of mock drafts have been doing this, wide receiver, because I think there's higher-end talent at the wide receiver position early in the draft. And as far as the free agent, the trade, that route, yeah, you can say you want DK Metcalf. If they don't trade him, you don't have a receiver. Like, you can't force anybody to make a deal. If I'm going to start swinging, I got a new dream here, Fitzgerald. A new dream.
Hold on to that dream. We'll get to it on the other side, Andy.
It's a good one. I have a dream, and it's an awesome dream.
Really?
Yep.
Well, okay, we'll see if...
It's almost as good as Martin Luther King's. Not quite as good, but it's a good dream.
I was hoping you wouldn't compare it to that. That's... everyone just squirmed. Thank you for...
Well, I like to make people uncomfortable.
Yes.
People are too comfortable in this world.
That's right. Got to knock them off their spot.
Damn
compare
right.
Compare yourself to Martin Luther King in the first hour of a radio
game. You
got to
get comfortable being uncomfortable. That's how you succeed in life.
Matt from Gillette, please save me from my co-host. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Are you on the way back, buddy?
We are, and I got to be honest, I didn't let Andy down this time. I stayed the whole game this time.
There you
Thank
go.
Thank you.
Way to go. You know what? You were rewarded with a game that went down to the final minute and a half, and I'm sure it was a bummer to see Drake May throw that pick. I'm sure you, like everyone else that was remaining, was hoping to see the comeback. It didn't happen, but good on you for sticking it out, Matt.
Well, 100%. And my conclusion is, the only draft pick we need to make next year is Travis Hunter. We need both a number one wide receiver and a number two cornerback, because we can't throw the ball to anyone worth it, and we can't defend the ball against anyone who's actually formidable. So we need both, and Travis Hunter provides both.
And he may very well provide both. That's a good call. Thank you, Matt. Was that, Andrew, call at your length?
It was at my length, and it was also...
It's a pretty short length, if you ask me.
Shut it, Braverman.
Wow, there it was.
I love all you people that think you're tall when you're not tall, and you make short jokes at a guy that's not all that short. Average American male right here, baby. Proud of it. Anyway, it was also a good call, because I kind of agree with it, except for the fact that I don't think Travis Hunter can succeed playing both ways in the National Football League.
Now, he gets hurt all the time playing for Colorado. Somebody's going to say, if I'm investing this much draft equity in you, You're not playing both ways.
Plus, you can't do both jobs at a high level. I just don't really think you can do it. But they do need both of his skills, mm-hmm. wherever you want to put him. Now, I'm not sure you want to draft a corner that high and use him just at corner, what his best position is. There's lots of debate there.
Mm-hmm. But Marcus Jones came in today. Andy, hey, two offensive
Finally
plays.
Saw him on offense again. About
five
damn
yards.
Time.
Wow. Where Andy, were you?
I actually liked Alex Van Pelt today for the most part.
Did
I thought
you?
He had a pretty good day. Yeah. In the first half, I thought he was really good. I thought there was a good mix, run, pass. I thought there was some interesting concepts. You know, you had the little trick play. You had Marcus Jones. I didn't hate the Alex Van Pelt day at all.
So AVP will not be the butt of your criticism today.
No. No, 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 no.
Well, I didn't like the play calling on that first and goal at the seven, though.
Okay.
In the third.
You know who we did that to for about 10 years?
Josh McDaniels.
Like, yes. Everybody gets that. You know when they get it? Mm-hmm. When you don't score a touchdown.
Yeah.
When you score a touchdown, everybody puts it away. And so that's just the reality of the job. And to some degree with Mayo and the decisions he makes, you win this game and a lot of things are quieted. You didn't win the game. Nope. Came to an ugly ending. I also have my concerns, and I know we're up against it. I have my concerns about... there's a sneaky dink on this team, and I'll tell you who it is after the break.
Oh, wow.
Sneaky dink.
Hold on. I'm just making notes right here on my host pad. So when we return, Andy's dream plus the reveal of the sneaky dink. What a tease. What a tease. It's all coming up in the next hour of the Six Rings Post Game Show. We're with you till after 7 o'clock here tonight on Boston Sports Original, breaking down Rams versus Patriots. It's WEEI.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.